Einel, do you know what the best feeling in the world is?
Is it beating a boss after messing up loads of times?
Could be.
Oh, no, wait. You know when you get a new skin in a game without having to buy it? I love that. Yeah. Oh, actually, blue shelling someone at the last minute and getting to win the race.
Very good options, all of them, those. Yeah, to be fair.
Well, not one of them.
No, for me, it's a time where you've got a new game all loaded up. You're ready to go. You're getting locked in. You've got a chocolate friend ready to give you a little power up, an energy boost before you get stuck in.
Okay, now we're talking, Steph. Especially if it's a solid slab of milk chocolate in between two crisp biscuits.
Oh, you know the one, Einel. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you take a bite. It's got to be a pickup bar.
So good. Hey. Do you go for the OG pickup? You know, the one in the blue box?
Oh, that is a classic. But I've been venturing out into the salted caramel one recently as well, just to a bit of variety, you know. There are a bunch of different flavours out there. Whichever one you go for, there's no better snack for when you're getting ready to pick up your controller and get going into a big gameplay sesh.
Mm-hmm. And they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers all over your controllers. Yeah. All thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Absolutely. And you can find out more by just searching Pick Up Biscuits on your phone.
Pick up and go.
We absolutely love this review, right, that we got on Apple Podcasts from Johnny VR. It says, I've played video games all my life. This is Johnny VR. Mm-hmm. And he says, this podcast made me love them even more. That's nice, Einel, isn't it?
I love that.
Yeah. So you are absolutely in the right place if you want to fall in love with video games over and over again. This is Press X to continue. It is the games podcast that is for everyone. Whenever you fall on the scale of rank amateur to seasoned pro with a controller in your hand, it doesn't matter. Everybody is welcome in the Continue Club. You can all become an XE beast if you fancy. All you've got to do is listen and get involved. I'm Stefan Power, and with me once again is the actor, comedian, streamer, Einel Tomlinson. How's it going, Einel?
Oh, lovely to be here. And thank you, Johnny, for those kind words. I've been there before. I was like, am I falling out of love with video games? And then something brings me back. So I'm glad we were able to facilitate that for you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That we brought you back in, Johnny. We love that. Now, Press X is proudly sponsored by Pickup. Is it a chocolate biscuit bar? Is it a biscuit with chocolate? Chocolate with biscuits. It doesn't really matter. It is a snack that helps you make the most of those unpredictable moments that gaming throws at you and helps you release tension. So we are chuffed to be working with the team behind it, aren't we, Einel?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Pickup.
Now today we're welcoming back to the podcast the esports host and streamer and content creator Frankie Ward. Hello Frankie, welcome back. Have you fallen out of love with games before?
Yes, actually I did. I was playing Final Fantasy 13 and it just went on and on and on. I was like, listen, I'm on board with your paradigm system, but I'm not on board with like Snow constantly screaming Sarah at me every time I lose a fight. And so I didn't turn on my Xbox for 5 years.
Oh wow, the Fauci put you off.
Oh my god. And then when I came back to it and I got hired at Twitch in 2016, I was like, right, I've got to finish this game, man. So I turned it back on and I was like, the Lacey, the Fauci, what? Crystals?
Hey, this
and
is
I finished the game and it was okay. And then I bought PlayStation 4.
This is what I've been saying for years. Games should have you've been away for a while. This is what you've missed.
Oh, thing. I tell you what, there's a game that does that and we will talk about it later. Death Stranding 2.
Ooh, hello. Well, we come on to Einel's review.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, this is a Stefan feature.
Yes. We love to see it. We want that to be everywhere, right? We want that to be everywhere.
Anyway, every single game.
Let's kick off with an unpopular opinion. People need to start being okay with games that are just okay. This is coming from Primus in our Discord and on TikTok. People complain that no company takes risks anymore, but that's because nobody buys the games when they do. So people should be okay with games that are just okay. Games need to take more risks, Frankie. What do you think? Do you agree with Primus?
I think there are a lot of games that are taking risks. I think the audience needs to take more risks, maybe, or marketing teams need to invest more. I think there's a lot of weirdness out there. So, and a lot of weirdness actually can be found acquisition by the likes of Netflix and Xbox these days. So I think actually there's almost a responsibility with them to really market those games well. I think then the audience understands. And also, you know, it used to be that streamers can make or break a game from the weirdness. Like Peak, we mentioned on the previous episode, that's getting a lot of love at the moment because it's It's a weird looking approach to a climbing game with that social element. So it combines something that people love to watch and play themselves, the social element, with something that is kind of an unsexy subject. There have been climbing games before, but nothing that's really kind of broken through. And now it's come down to this weird little game.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Well, Primus, really appreciate you sharing your unpopular opinions with us. Yeah. You can do that on our Discord, on our social media as well. Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok. Press X Podcast on Instagram. Now, I've got an unpopular opinion as well this week, Arinel, that I would like to bring to the Press X committee, if you will. And my unpopular opinion is this: I actually think that the Halo TV show, it's not that bad, actually. I think it's all right. I think it's pretty good. I'm quite enjoying it. Thank you very much. It's perfectly serviceable telly and didn't need the ridicule or the review bashing that it got when it came out. That's my opinion. I like it. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a nice time with it. I don't care that you see Master Chief's face. It's fine. It's cool. I'm in.
Did you go through both seasons?
I've done the first season. Done it. Finished it.
What about season two?
I haven't started season two yet. I'm busy. You know what I mean? I quite liked it. Like, okay. Is it War and Peace? No. But, you know, is it as good as The Last of Us as in terms of TV adaptations? No. But is it fun to just sit down, relax and watch and have on in the background? Absolutely.
Yeah, but is it a good adaptation of the Halo games?
Yeah, because it makes you realise. I think it changes who the central character is.
Mm.
Because I think the games, really, the central character, obviously, is you think it's Master Chief, right? Because you're controlling him. But I think the central character is Halsey, Catherine Halsey, the genius who created the Spartans in the first place. And she's very much got that main character energy in this as a sort of baddie, but not really a baddie, if you know what I mean. And I think she's great. I think it's good.
Wow. Is she the one that came up with Cortana?
She's the one who came up with Cortana and all that stuff. She does the sort of menacing scientist quite well in this, you know, like nothing gets in the way of scientific progress type vibe. And it's quite nice CGI in it. There's good battle scenes. Like, is there loads of character development? Not especially. Do I care? Do I care? No, I don't.
Do you know what it is? Because Halo's had so many different like live action CG animated things in the past. And I think what fans are doing, they're comparing this series to all of those. And they've had some amazing ones. And so I think that's where a lot of the backlash has come from. It's like they've kind of disregarded all of the amazing stuff that other kind of directors and producers have made. And they've just thrown it all out and we're doing our own thing. And people are like,
But look, telly's expensive to make, Cranky, you know, and so they're doing a good job.
I thought the marketing for season two was absolutely inspired because it was basically they bought the advertising space off a load of London buses, and that was a picture of Master Chief with the helmet off, and I was like, chapeau, literally chapeau to the marketing guys at Paramount Plus because they knew that it would get people annoyed and talking about their show, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, well, it's sort of the critics actually quite enjoyed it. It has been cancelled after two seasons. You can watch it on Netflix now.
They enjoyed it, but it's been
cancelled. It's been cancelled and it's moved to a different streamer.
Okay, but it's on. So that's how I started watching because I don't have Paramount Plus. So I was watching it on Netflix, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of those shows that ends up. Was it Firefly that sort of sci-fi Firefly, TV show that ended up with
Serenity?
Serenity,
the film. I
wouldn't be surprised if something like that. There would be like a feature length. Like wrap it all up in a bow type mini film, long series or whatever, you know, that ends up somewhere.
I don't think there's like Reddit threads dedicated to Paramount Plus Halo series 1 and 2 though. Whereas with Firefly, what it was like 8 episodes and Joss Whedon already had a cult following from Buffy. Like that was based around one, the ensemble cast, but also the showrunner. And Whedon wasn't known to be who Whedon is now. Whereas I don't know who the showrunner of Halo is.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think the star is the universe and the setting, right? And the characters.
It'll be a full reboot, I think, rather than taking what they've done already to the big screen. Unless they just recreate it all in AI, which, you know, that's probably what they do in the future.
Well, look, to quote Primus from our previous unpopular opinion this episode, I am okay with it being okay. And I've enjoyed it. And I'm going to stick up for the Halo TV show and all of you naysayers out there. Because actually, the story of Halo, the game itself, I mean, wow, it got lost.
Isn't it just like an AI assistant called Cortana?
That's fine.
And then she constantly asks you if you want to use Microsoft Edge as your browser.
I haven't seen that bit. But the sort of the AI turning is interesting, especially in the current climate, right? With the sort of all the discussion about AI. And we'll have to get into that one episode, actually. But I think all the sort of like stuff about the people that lived on the earth before the human, all that stuff gets so convoluted and so complicated, like it did in Assassin's Creed Shadows and all of Assassin's Creed. Best sci-fi, in my opinion, is the premise, the setting is quite straightforward. Yeah, yes, there's devil in detail. Don't get me wrong. You can get down the weeds in Dune, for goodness sake, Dune, you know, that world is wild. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to really understand all of that to get the heart of the thing. Whereas here, I think sometimes in the game, I kind of lost it with who was doing what and what species was doing this bit and who was the prime generators or whatever it was. Yeah. The show cuts a lot of that out, which I think is quite good. I think it gets
Do you reckon why that's why the rumors are that like Microsoft are like rebooting the whole Halo franchise and they're going to start again from Combat Evolved again?
Well, it could be because like the modern stuff of Halo is really good. And you don't really need anyone. It's just when they started going off of these warring factions years ago and they're now dead and they're now dead, but they sort of live here. It's all a bit like, come on. I'm a Warhammer nerd. I like, you know, I was finding it a bit like, jeez, this is
and you love those ongoing wars.
I love all that stuff. Anyway, sorry, I've ended up taking us down a very different tangent from what I was expecting. Here. So, like, did you enjoy the Halo TV series as well?
I didn't know you was that passionate about Halo. I had no idea.
Literally, this happened this week because I was doing some filming away from home and I was on a treadmill in a hotel gym and I just put the first one on. Just, I don't know even why. I don't even know why. And then the next thing you know, I'm 8 episodes in. So, yeah, that's fine. Frankie's looking at me like I've lost the plot.
You're a father of two. I understand. You've got to make the most of the time that you get away from the family and you spent it watching Halo on the treadmill. So, yeah, you need to set your priorities out, basically. This is an intervention.
Yeah, it's an intervention, yeah.
Well, let's move on then. Let's have a bit of trivia, shall we? Now, you might be listening to this. You're probably sitting there. You could be on a treadmill listening to this, maybe, right? Or watching it even, right? Because we're trying to put video episodes on Spotify now. So maybe you're watching this. Who knows? And maybe you're thinking, this lot really needs testing. That's what they need. And I've got a perfect piece of trivia to do just that. We'll get into the Discord and send it to us via our secret channel that only the production team... Secret channel. Imagine this, Frankie. Imagine you've got a Discord...
And I do have a Discord.
Well, there we are. On your Discord, okay, Frankie?
Yeah.
Is there a secret channel that you can't see what people put in there?
Quite possibly. I wouldn't know. My mod might have set it up without me.
Okay, fine.
You never know. They had a whip round when I had the first baby, so you never know. It literally could be one. Anyway, I'm on tangents now. tangents.
You're supposed to be sticking up for me and Inel here, who are saying it shouldn't be a secret channel in our own flipping Discord.
No, but I like this because I've got 50% win rate and Inel's 24%. You're like 15%. So I'm enjoying the secret channel. Please, keep the
essentially,
questions coming.
It's a secret channel. You can put your questions in and then we
try to
answer.
The thing is, though, I feel like in this secret channel, they're laughing at us as well.
Oh, cool.
They're laughing. Yeah.
Well, they're laughing at me, especially because I'm one of the lowest. I think I am the lowest. I am bottom. I am bottom of the list. Wow, that's great. That's good news. Makes you feel good. Anyway, so the question this week is the following, and we will give you the answers at the end. So like Frankie was alluding to there, if you missed last week's episode, she is on 50%. So she's got a 1-2 record of getting questions right. Inel is down to 24%, having 6 right out of 25.
Less than a quarter.
I've got 4 right out of 26, which isn't very high. These are hard questions, to be fair, though. They're hard questions.
You didn't give out the percentage, Stefan.
Oh, my percentage is 15.4%.
Wow.
0.4. The 0.4 is very important.
It's very important.
You need that.
It's very important for context.
Who wants to be a continuer?
The question this week. During beta testing, why did players of the game Wolfenstein Enemy Territory perform better on the Allied team in online multiplayer matches than players on the Axis team, despite their weapons having identical stats. So in beta testing for a Wolfenstein game, the Allied team in online multiplayer matches had much better outcomes than the Axis team, despite their weapons having identical stats. But a hint, before we go down this route, it had absolutely nothing to do with their costumes. So one team wasn't easier to see, which is what I would have gone for.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Any thoughts?
Now, again, Frankie, with your Counter-Strike history and heritage and knowledge, then you might have a little insight of this because you know about competitive shooting. So maybe you've got a sense of an answer here.
I don't know the game mode. So, for example, if it was Capture the Flag, then it could be something to do with spawn location, maybe. But I don't know what the game mode was. Obviously, if it's attack and defense, then there's something to be said about balance there. But yeah. I don't think it is a Counter-Strike mode, is it? So if it's not tactical FPS in that sense, and it's more like COD, it could literally be something to do with spawn location.
Straight up head-to-head. So spawn location could be one.
Deathmatch.
That's a good shout.
Could it be... That allies had an easier time because the allies, the characters were voiced in English and the Axis was in German.
Oh, so communication could
be affected. So communication, like when the characters would do their barks, they wouldn't necessarily know what that meant. I don't know.
That's good.
The characters bark? Is it Wolfenstein as in like wolves?
Oof.
Yeah. Like German shepherds versus the British bulldogs.
Character barks. That's what they're
trait? Can you give us a character bark, please?
A character bark is like a line you'd say, like say you killed someone and then your character would comment on it. That'd be like a bark.
So you just killed Stefan.
I'm dead. Bash.
That was easier than I thought.
Hire him now.
There you go. There's my character part right there.
Hire him now.
Amazing.
I think so. If it's a spawn location and you're saying talking,
well done. I reckon it must be language.
Considering our answers.
Well, yeah. I'm a 15% record. Yeah, I'm not exactly.
Let him have it.
We'll think on it and then we'll give you the answer at the end of the podcast. We'll come back to that. So okay. Doing beta testing, why did players of the game Wolfenstein Enemy Territory perform better with the Allied team on multiplayer matches compared to the Axis team, despite their weapons having identical stats? Okay, so that's a question. Right, Einel's going to be reviewing Death Stranding 2 for us in a little bit. But first, this is a story posted recently by the BBC. They had a case study of someone who says that she's got to spend a lot of time researching games more now in order to managing her money when it comes to spending on games, because we've talked about it a lot in the podcast, Einel.
Mm-hmm.
When Mario Kart came out, was it 75 quid or whatever? Games are often costing now £70 upwards for the top AAA titles. We've had UK Interactive Entertainment, that's the trade body for gaming in the UK, coming out and saying that developers were looking to manage the costs of production because production costs are now significantly higher than they were 10 years ago. That probably explains why games are much more expensive now than they were then. So are we worried that gaming is starting to price a lot of ordinary people out of it because of how much it costs? I know a lot of people don't go to the cinema as much as they used to, because that's like 50 quid just to go to the cinema. Einel, are you worried about the price of gaming?
I'm worried that the prices are creeping up, but I feel like it's more accessible than ever, though, because we never, like when I was younger, there was no such thing as free-to-play games. Like, you'd probably get like a demo disc, you get like a shareware thing of like a couple of levels of a game, and then you phone the developer and you purchase the full game and whatnot on the floppy disk and they'd send you one. But like nowadays, there's
floppy
so much choice.
Wow, we are going back in the old archive.
But whereas now, like there's a broad range of games and there's sales on all the time. Like I think it's very expensive if you want to be on the top end of gaming and you want to be on the forefront and you want to be where all the recent releases are. I think that's a dangerous game and that's where it's the most expensive, especially with pre-orders, limited editions, special editions. But in terms of if you want to, a lot of these games are timeless. And if you wanted to pick up a lot of these games nowadays, wait 4 years, you're paying like a 70% discount on it. And so,
unless you buy Nintendo, who notoriously never drop their prices.
I will say, if you want to stay on the forefront of recent releases and you want to buy games, always shop around, do the most, get your cash back. use your cashback sites, make sure you're getting money back on some of these games, hunt for the deals. They're all competitive. All the online retailers are competing with each other and they're trying to like penny pinch from each other, find the cheapest one and do the thing that I hate the most. Trade your games in. I hate it, but like do it.
Yeah, I suppose with digital ownership now, Frankie, trading, like that secondary market kind of gone away. I know there are Steam sales on a lot if you're a PC player or the Game Pass and like, you know, subscription services kind of work. But if you want to be in on the trend and you want to get the new whatever, then it is expensive now.
It can be, but I was thinking about the economics. I know I've mentioned Game Pass all the time, but that's because some of the things that do come out on Game Pass on day one are like ridiculous. Like Elder Scrolls Remastered recently, Expedition 33, Altus that I was talking about in the review last week. There are so many amazing games to the point sometimes where I bought something on Steam and then realized I had it on Games Pass. And that's like £15 a month, I think, for cross-platform. So if you think about Mario Kart being what, 70, 80 quid, well, actually, if you could basically have, what, 5 to 6 months of Games Pass in the period of time that it would take to pay for, or the same amount of money as you would pay for a single game. And yeah. So I think that that's the way things are going to lean. I do worry about indies getting left behind, but then indie price points tend to be lower. Steam stores sales are amazing, though. Like, I got Witcher for, like, $3.95, I think. Like last year, and I know that sounds terrible that I hadn't played Witcher 3 before then, but obviously that's one of the greatest games of all time and it still holds up so well. So there are these gems on Steam that you can pick up, and I know that favours PC gaming, but a lot of these games now work on Mac and lower spec systems as well. So there is a way in, basically, and also mobile. Like, yeah, mobile is getting better and better all the time.
I think, I mean, there's a conversation maybe for another podcast about the economics of whether Game Pass is actually the reason why games are becoming more expensive in the first place. Right?
True. And I know.
Damn you, Game Pass.
But for a consumer right now, if that's what we're talking about, then I do have to say it's a fantastic option. It was a fantastic option, I think, for developers in the past who were being paid millions to have their games licensed.
Yeah.
And then the license expires after a couple of years, Xbox renews it. But what tends to happen at the moment is the games that do well on Games Pass then get acquisition by Netflix. So potentially there's an extended period of time when developers have guaranteed income. And then Altus said that they'd sold 280,000 units of the game so far outside of Xbox Games Pass. So sometimes it's a really good platform to get people talking about your game, Expedition 33. And then that is a springboard, and people who don't have Xbox systems, say they're playing on PlayStation, invest in the game. So I would argue that Expedition 33 has benefited from being on Games Pass, but obviously not everyone does.
I think you're right. Like, from a consumer perspective, Game Pass is a great system, and it shows the sort of the perhaps the malaise of Microsoft at the moment that hasn't been enough, despite how positive that offering is, to drag more players over onto their platform, and why PlayStation is still winning despite being against Game Pass. So I think Einel's right. You've got to, if you shop around and you're sensible, there is a way to do gaming on a bit of a budget. But I think it is hard when you are locking people out of, like, you know, if you want to play the new FIFA, for example, or when GTA 6 comes out, I think you've got to try and probably save for those big tentpole moments and pick one or two a year. But then in between then, you can be getting, you know, some free-to-play titles or games that are on sale on Steam and cheaper older games. So you might want to try and use the rest of the year to, like, fill that back catalogue that you haven't got through yet of those amazing experiences that are out there that you just missed the first time around on the cheap.
Oh my God, go back.
Just go back.
So many amazing games that most people have never played. And like, you can play them on most modern platforms, especially PC, especially Xbox, maybe Nintendo with some of their, like, look back retro things, and PlayStation as well with their PlayStation Plus catalogue. All those old, wicked, amazing, legendary games that got 10 out of 10s back in the day, you can still play for cheap now.
Yeah, absolutely. Do that. And then just pick your, like, okay, I'm going to spend 70 quid once or twice this year, and it's going to be the new Call of Duty, or it's going to be Death Stranding, or it's going to be whatever it is, or it's, you know, and then just sort of, you do have to be a bit more organized. But I think at the moment, we've all got to be a bit more organized with our money, right? Because of the cost of living crisis, whether it's your housing bills or your car or whatever. So it's tough. But we've got to big up Johnny Quiz in the Discord, Einel.
Hey, big up Johnny Quiz. Frankie, you know about Johnny Quiz?
Oh, yeah, the big JQ.
JQ. Big JQ in the Discord.
Who doesn't
right?
like Big JQ?
Right. If you want deals on your games, then you've got to get in the Discord. And Johnny Quiz is in there. He's active. And if you've, you know,
active.
Just go back and have a look at his old posts. He's sharing sales that are on, and he's the man.
All the discounts.
You get your
all
games
the free
for cheaper.
Games.
Yeah. Johnny Quiz. He's doing God's work in there.
Hey, listen. He doesn't get thanked enough.
He doesn't get. He doesn't. So we're thanking him now.
Thank you, Big JQ.
Big JQ. Big Johnny
Give
Quiz
him
in the
own
Discord.
Role name in the Discord. Please.
We should get. Maybe we should give Johnny
just
his own
JQ.
Channel.
Yeah,
yeah. Big JQ. Yeah, he's the Stan of Discord.
He is making games affordable.
Which is the Monkey Island reference. I'm so sorry.
Making
I put them in wherever I can.
Okay.
I'm selling these fine used coffins.
No, you can get involved in the Discord, of course, and you can get all of Johnny Q, Big JQ's discounted suggestions in there, right? Just find us in the Discord, comment on our post, and we'll share the link and you can get involved in the conversation. Also find us on social media. It's PressX Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok and PressX Podcast on Instagram. Right, let's get an update then on GTA 6 with our editor, Cammy. What's the latest, Cam?
The PressX to continue GTA 6 update.
The original PS2 version of GTA Vice City featured the song Bark at the Moon by Ozzy Osbourne, and not only did another Ozzy Osbourne song feature in San Andreas, all we had to do was follow the damn crazy train, CJ. Oh yeah, no GTA 6 update, sorry.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Well, thank you very much for that update on GTA 6. It's a busy time there on the old Rockstar team. Now, a few weeks ago, we had a question in the Discord from Chappers, who wanted a judgment from what he called the Exe Council.
Mm.
And we enjoyed the feeling of power that name gave us so much. Now we've been asking for other things that you want to put forward to the Exe Council. And we have convened the Exe Council for you today. Frankie is an honorary member of the Exe Council this week. And Einel, of course. I feel like I need a gavel.
Yeah.
You know?
Get like something to bang.
Yeah.
Got anything to bang?
I don't want to bang my phone. I was going to smash my phone there. It's probably a problem.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
I've got something
that.
You can bang on. I just don't have the banger.
I can't really. I know we've lived not that far apart.
Audio listeners. Frankie's holding up a coaster.
Thank you very much. So we convene this meeting of the Exe Council. First question.
Hold on, Steph. Before you begin, Frankie, was you slamming your portable version of yourself?
Yeah, is it called a Marioska? Like a Russian doll of
Russian
me.
Russian doll.
Yeah, that someone made for me once. Onto just a stump of a candle holder or a candle lid. And it's got like all the currency from places around the world I've been to. So there you go, trivia. Trivia, you didn't need to know.
I love
Council!
I tell you what, this podcast takes some weird and wonderful turns sometimes, and that was very much it. We love it. So yes, anyway, the Exe Council, thank you very much for your makeshift gavel there, Frankie. David starts with this one. I was watching The Chase on TV recently when there was this question. What term refers to playing a video game by hitting buttons quickly and randomly? Now, the answers offered were trigger twitching, button bashing, or direction darting. Well, David is saying, surely the answer should be button mashing, not button bashing. So he wants the council to come up with a decision on this, please. Was the chase wrong on the telly?
The chase were, yeah, they're wrong, but it looks like they were playing with the alliteration on it. I think that's the only reason.
Yeah, it just changed it just for the alliteration. But the chase is,
I think so.
Chase is clearly wrong here, yeah, right, Frankie?
The chase is clearly wrong, yeah.
It's button mashing. The Exe Council has spoken. It is button mashing. Thank you very much, David, for that. Johnny's been on. I beseech answers from the Exe Council about searching for the answers in video games. I don't like to do it, but I got to the point in Blueprints where I had to Google some of the solutions.
Mm.
And I don't think I would ever have worked out some of them organically. Is this okay? Asks Johnny of the Exe Council. What do we think? So I think it's fine because it's just like using playthrough guides back in the day. So I think it's cool. But what do you think, Einel?
I feel like if when you discover the answer and you was like, oh, I never would have got that in a million years, and you don't feel disappointed in yourself, I think that's fine. Time is precious. We can't be running around a game for hours when you know you ain't got that time. I'm cool with it.
Frankie.
Johnny, you just have to ask yourself, can you live with yourself right now? And if the answer is yes, then it's okay. And if the answer is no, it's okay. It's fine. Don't worry. No, it's absolutely fine. I imagine you have two children and, you know, you're busy, and I need to get back into Blueprints, but it's obtuse. It's obtuse. There's multicolored rooms.
It's hard.
And creaky doors, but I loved it.
And chess pieces.
And I love you, Johnny.
So there we are, Johnny. Okay. Frankie loves you either way. It doesn't matter. The XC Council has spoken. It's okay, Johnny. You do you. Owen, our visual producer, has been on to say it's exactly the reason why I haven't completed The Root Trees Are Dead. Because I can't cheat.
Yes.
And I can't Google the answers, and therefore I'm stuck. Well, just Google the answers. If it makes you feel better, you can do that. Thank you very much for suggesting and being in touch with the XC Council. We have convened and we have come up with our answers. We will convene the XC Council once more as you continue to provide questions and thoughts for us to give you a direction on in the Discord. So thank you very much to Johnny and David for that. Okay, it is time now for the Press X Biscuit Break that is brought to you by Pickup.
Yes, this is the part of the podcast where we take a moment to re-energise before going in again.
Now this week, Anil, I'm going to go for the hazelnut for my biscuit break.
Okay. Is that you, yeah?
Yeah, very nice. It's really tasty, this one.
All right. Well, we're going to discuss the games that you can play when taking 5 minutes out to get yourself back on track. You know, give yourself a little boost before taking on the world again. Something you can play while you're enjoying your snack, innit? Your choice this week, Steph?
So I think I'm going to go for Just Mowing, Einel, again. Now, I know you laugh when we talked about this before in the podcast, but it's such a chill game. It's relaxing. It's meditative. It's the perfect way to have a bit of zen whilst enjoying a biscuit and relieving some tension. It keeps you at your best.
Bro, you're just literally just mowing virtual lawns.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm doing, yeah. And I'm having a good time doing it.
I'm not convinced. But I get to choose next episode, so we'll roll with it.
Now you can get Just Mowing on any mobile device, and you can give it a go if you want to rebalance the old mentals while you're having a bit of a biscuit break.
Yeah, and don't worry, next week is going to be way more exciting.
Oh, whatever. I can't wait to see what you're picking next week.
That was the Press X Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup. Have we decided yet, by the way, Steph, if Pickups are a chocolate biscuit bar or a biscuit with chocolate?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think it really matters if it tastes good.
I suppose not then.
No, fine. Okay, right. It is now time for a review then. Einel, I'm excited about what you think about this because we went to a big swanky launch event for this, didn't we? And you've been playing Death Stranding 2.
Death Stranding 2 on the beach, full title, Stefan.
Sorry. Yeah, full title.
You have to get a full title. But yes, if you don't know Death Stranding, you play Sam Porter Bridges, who is played by Norman Reedus, and you go about the world delivering. You're a delivery man. And in the first game, he was tasked with connecting America again. He has a thing called Dooms, which allows him to sense BTs, beached things. They're like ghosts. And because he can sense them, he's able to go outside and avoid them and deliver items that people need. The rest of the people, they live inside, underground, and in various places, and they don't go outside anymore. In the first game, he managed to connect America again. Yay, yay, yay. But at the end of the game, he goes to... He basically goes off-grid, like the Matrix. He takes his baby with him, called Lou, and he goes off-grid. And that's where the second game begins. A few months later, he's off-grid, and Lea Seydoux, who plays the character Fragile, finds him and tasks him with going about connecting Mexico. And that's where the game begins. So okay. It's very much similar to the first game in terms of connecting places that are disconnected and connecting people and bringing them supplies. But this one, I feel they've listened to a lot of feedback from last time, and it feels like a dramatic shift in challenge rather than anything else. And for me, personally, I don't like it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, we'll come on to that. So essentially the first one was, and in fact, Frankie wasn't a fan of the first one, as we discovered in our first ever episode of rebooted Press X to Continue, was described by some as a walking simulator. Like you say, you're delivering things and essentially it's a difficult terrain to traverse and you're walking places with atmospheric music, dropping stuff off is kind of, and there's some combat, but not much. Is there more combat now then, or is it still essentially
loads of combat? So the reason why I'd say the challenge is been taken away is because in the first game, you were killing people was the worst thing you could possibly do. Because if you killed someone, it meant that, oh no, I have to then take the body and I have to dispose of it correctly. If I don't do that, it's pretty much game over. In this game, they've just got rid of it. They just say, yeah, your bullets don't kill people. They just send them to sleep. And then, so now you've got machine guns, you've got assault rifles, shotguns, and like, pow, pow, pow. You could just run into a base, blast everybody up and take all their stuff. And so like the challenge is gone because before you were like, all right, I'm going to try and find a way around and try and be stealthy, sneak this way, take one person out, hide them in the bush or something like that. You don't need to do that. You can do that, but it feels like you're wasting your own time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Frankie, I know that we talked before, you didn't like the first one. Is there anything about the sort of promo material and the sort of the build-up to this, or what Einel's saying about the change of focus to be more action-centric that's sort of speaking to you?
I think that worries me slightly because it's a little bit like what happened with Assassin's Creed, I think, where it suddenly became less about stealth and it became more about kind of all-out action and it lost the ethos of the game. I'm so sorry, I had to mute my mic during that review because it was a gorgeous review, but... his name's Sam Porter Bridges.
He's a first name, job.
This is the problem with these games, is like calling a woman fragile, calling someone Rain Man, like literally.
Is Hartman back in it, I know?
He is, yeah.
Well, and there's more characters. Rainy, there's a character called Rainy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, I know.
No, carry on.
But that's the problem. I can't take the game seriously because of that. But yeah.
I think, do you know what it is? The first game was really weird and surreal. And so a lot of the time you were looking forward to the cutscenes to try and piece together what's going on. You're like, all right, let me understand this world. Now that we kind of understand this world, it's still weird. But like, then it's like, it doesn't kind of move it past the weird. Like, everybody has, like, all the characters you meet have, like, tragic stories, and there's their dark and depressing, like, backstories that they have, and you get to learn about it, which is great. But then the game just doesn't seem to connect with that, if that makes sense. Because the first game was about going from A to B, and the challenge was just getting from A to B. Now it's really easy to get to A to B. They give you unlocks constantly. Every time you do a mission, you unlock something new. Like, you unlock the bike in the first, like, hour, whereas before it was, like, the first 10 hours before you got a bike. Like, you get, like, a truck in the second hour. Like, you get all the gubbins that you were working towards in the first game really early on. And so getting from A to B is simple. It's just, like, load up the van, drive the van, I'm there.
Interesting. Yeah. So because the journey was the game last time, wasn't
it? That was the game. That's why I liked it.
Yeah. And I really liked the first one, and I want to get into this in this one. I want to get into this game as well. We were at the launch event in London when Kojima was there and Norman Reedus was there. Leia Seydoux was there. Churches came out and played a song.
They did.
There is. I don't think. Of many other people in the games industry that can get a few, how many people, Jack? This place, the venue was packed.
I'd say a couple of thousand.
A couple of thousand people packing out a venue to listen to them talk on, listen to a Q&A on a stage. He has got something, like it or not, I suppose, that nobody else in the games, I can't think of anybody else in the games that has that, Einel. So he's clearly doing something that's speaking to people.
Yes. The cutscene direction is fantastic. The actual character models are so lifelike. Like, it looks exactly like those characters. It's just the decisions that are made are a bit... like, yes, it's more accessible in a way, but it isn't at the same time. Like, it sounds like I'm not making sense, But like, it's more accessible because it's a lot easier to play, but there's hardly any accessibility options in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
And so it's one of those things where I want to like the game, but the game is so easy that it's any challenge that was there before, any fear that you had from when you were sneaking around trying to get past BTs is gone. Like,
because that was the main bit of the first game.
You're not scared of them anymore.
Yeah, you're bricking it.
Now you can get a van. You can put a gun on the van. Just shoot. Yeah. You can get an auto pickup thing on the van. So when you see a package on the floor, it just automatically picks it up. Like it makes it so like convenient and easy, which is great if you want to just go through.
Yeah.
But in terms of an actual challenge for a video game, that's not there. And I think some of the character choices I didn't like either. Like Tommy L. Jenkins played Die Hardman in the first game. And in this game, he's just explained away in one sentence. It's like, yeah, he just vanished. No one's seen him since. So we're still going to use the voice actor, but we're going to put him on this AI doll and he's going to tell you about your mission briefings. So it's the same voice actor telling you about mission briefings, just without the character and the arc he had and the really strong performance that he gave in the first game. All that's gone. And it's like, why? Why?
So,
plus, it was the only black character in the first game as well. And now they put him on a doll called Charlie. Charlie's just like a mannequin doll. So it's like a white mannequin doll and you get to choose the voice that Charlie can be. And he's one of the voices you get to choose. And he just gives out missions. And that's it. So I can still hear Tommy, and because he's an amazing voice actor, one of the best in the business. I can still hear him, but like, he doesn't have that arc. He doesn't have any character arc like that. Well, as far as I've seen in the game anyway. But he doesn't have, like, the performance he gave in the first game is incredible. And you can go online and you can see the scenes, the most powerful scenes that he had. Like, the best in the game. Best in the first game.
He is good.
All that's gone.
Do you think that they've obviously taken, they've just listened to the feedback, or they've taken some of the feedback and gone, yeah, okay, they want more action. They want more of these characters. Let's just do that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
But if you look at the scores from the critics, from
it was 89 players, Metacritic score.
People love it.
Is there something, Frankie, about, you know, in an age where we are complaining about games becoming sort of made by committee or made by sort of corporate people looking at spreadsheets and money, that, you know, Einald doesn't like this one, but there's something about having someone who has got a vision, who makes stuff that is a bit out there and a bit different and very much his view of the world. And it is something to be said about at least having that available, even if, because the rest of the games industry are now basically games made by spreadsheet merchants.
I would say the rest of the games aren't made by spreadsheet merchants. It's just that not all of them have a platform like Kojima does. And I think that it's a shame to hear that this game does sound like it's been adhered to, like, you know, is adhering to some kind of fan service here, because then that loses the essence of what makes Kojima Kojima. Because like Death Stranding 1 was not for me, but I would never say it's a bad game. I said it was a, you know, in our very first kind of comeback episode, I said that it was a great piece of art, but not necessarily a great game. And now that's obviously me being facetious. It's not a game that I felt like I wanted to play, but obviously it's a game that meant a lot to people. So if you strip the essence and actually you'd like eliminate some of the storyline, so what's the point in having something as a sequel if it then drops some of your key characters? And it seems like if they've dropped a character just because the audience wasn't necessarily
talking about
them.
It's not just one character. They've dropped multiple characters.
Then that just sounds really disappointing. I was invited to the event and I couldn't go, sadly. I'm sure if I'd gone to the event, I'm sure I would have been like, right, I must play this game now, because I'd feel a sense of loyalty to it. But
yeah, we had a good night, didn't we?
I got super hyped to play it. Yeah. Like, I hadn't played it at the point we went to the event. And after going to the event, I was like, I really want to play it. Boot it up. And I was like, the first that was great. And then after that, and I was like,
that's interesting. You know what? Like, it's funny,
because he's still good. Like, the cutscene stuff is great. The weirdness is fantastic. It's probably the best looking video game I've probably played to date. It's all of that's great. Soundtrack amazing. It's just the gameplay wise, game mechanic wise, stripped down.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting stuff. Well, look, let us know what you think of Death Stranding 2 in the Discord, or comment on social media as well. Get in touch with us. It's 70 quid on the PlayStation Store. You can get it for 63 quid on Amazon and Argos. What would you say to people, Lionel? Don't bother. Wait till it's on sale. Buy it now.
If you're a Kojima fan, get it. I'm sure you won't be. Well, I'm a Kojima fan now. I was disappointed. That's it's a hard one.
It's innocent. I made a documentary about how we made the first one. You can still find on YouTube now. And so I'm really excited and interested to get into this to see the comparisons. I spent a lot of time watching them make the first one and then playing the first one. And
I'm interested in hearing your thoughts.
Yeah. So I'm gonna have to make sure that I play that by the time we get together next time to sort of share in on the conversation, because I'm fascinated by your take on it. So look, let us know what you think as well. Get involved in the Discord, find us on social media, PressXPod on Blue Sky and TikTok, PressXPodcast on Instagram, and share your thoughts with us. Right, let's finish up then with the trivia question. The answer to this week's question. The question was, why did players of the game Wolfenstein perform better on the Allied team in online multiplayer matches compared to the Axis team, despite their weapons having identical stats? Frankie, you went with spawn locations as a very, like, spot the person who's worked in esports. Aynel, you went with, what did you went with?
I went with character barks in a different language.
Character barks, different language. Was there different music playing? If you were playing as the allies, that was...
I don't know, I didn't play.
So that meant it was so loud you could hear the other team or something like that? Like, well,
is that what you're going for?
That's why I'm
going
to go with music. So what's the answer? The answer is, when playing as the allies, players would hear their weapons with a deeper and more bass-filled sound. It didn't affect what the other players heard. It was local audio, but the sound made players feel like they were doing better, and the psychological boost made them play better. My goodness. So despite all the stats for both teams being the same, the server data showed that Allied players got way more kills. Developers leveled the playing field by changing the sound of the guns.
See, this is what I always say. No tinny speakers. You need that bass boost. Yeah. When you've got the bass boost, you start winning.
And a big shout out to the YouTube channel People Make Games for a great video explaining all about this. So, yeah. Brilliant stuff on People Make Games. You should check that out. Yeah. They're wicked. So and none of us got it right. Can I give myself half a point? Because I said music.
No.
Should we convene the Exe Council quickly? What are you saying? Come on, I get half a point. I said sound.
No.
That's it. It's done.
Last week on my very own podcast, I got called a Karen. And this week, I'm being told that I can't give myself half a point for a
trivia
question. And that's
a very Karen thing to say.
Well, on that note, that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. Don't forget to get involved on Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky, Press X Podcast on Instagram. And if you comment on one of the posts, we'll add you into the Discord as well. And we'll be back on Tuesday for more fun. Thank you very much and goodbye. I'm going to go and sulk in a corner now. See you later.
It sounds so low energy.
He's so unhappy.
Thanks for listening, guys. I enjoyed it.
Bye.